Welcome, everyone. Today, I have something extraordinary for you. This is not just another English story lesson. This is not just a story about a celebrity. This is a story that will take you deep into the life of a man who started with nothing, who faced rejection, poverty, and failure, and yet rose to become one of the most powerful, respected, and inspiring actors in the world. Yes, I am talking about Leonardo DiCaprio. This is the story of a boy who grew up in a dangerous neighborhood, surrounded by crime, drugs, and violence. A boy raised by a single mother who struggled every single day to give her son a better life. A boy who was told, "You're not good enough. You don't look like a star. You'll never make it." But that boy didn't stop. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. Instead, he became the face of one of the biggest films in history, Titanic. He became an actor who would dedicate his entire soul to every role he played. He would win an Oscar. He would stand on stage at the United Nations, not to promote a film, but to fight for the planet. He would become a global icon, not just for his fame, but for his heart, his focus, and his vision. So if you want to learn English, if you want to improve your listening skills, and if you want to feel truly inspired, stay with me till the very end. This is not just a story. This is a journey. And as we tell it, your English will grow with it, step by step, word by word, sentence by sentence. Because here we learn English through powerful stories. And there is no better story to begin with than that of Leonardo DiCaprio. Part 1. A Child of Dreams and Struggles. Leonardo Wilhelm DiCaprio was born on November 11, 1974, in Los Angeles, California, in a poor neighborhood. His full name, yes, Wilhelm, was inspired by his German roots. But his first name, Leonardo, came from a special moment. His mother, Irmeline, was pregnant and standing in front of a painting by Leonardo da Vinci in a museum in Italy. At that moment, she felt her baby kick inside her womb. That was the moment she knew. She would name her son Leonardo. He was born to Irmeline Indenberken, a legal secretary, and George DiCaprio, an underground comic book artist and distributor. His parents were passionate, creative people. But their relationship didn't last. When Leonardo was just 1 year old, his parents separated. His father moved out, and Leonardo stayed with his mother. But here's what makes the story powerful. Even though his parents were no longer together, they both stayed involved in his life. His father lived nearby, and both parents made sure Leo got the best they could give him, even when they had very little. The neighborhood Leonardo grew up in was rough and dangerous. He once described it as being filled with prostitution, drug addicts, and violence. It was a place where kids were easily pulled into crime. At the age of 5, Leonardo saw things most children should never see. He was even robbed on the street. But instead of becoming bitter, he used those experiences to shape his understanding of life. His mother worked multiple jobs, including as a legal secretary and sometimes even doing cleaning jobs, just to support Leonardo's education and his early passion for acting. She would take the bus with young Leonardo for hours just to take him to auditions across the city. She believed in him completely. She would sit with him, wait with him, and even when he got rejected, she would smile and say, "We'll try again." From a very young age, Leonardo was different. He was full of energy. Always mimicking people, making faces, acting out scenes from television, and doing impressions. Teachers at school said he couldn't sit still. He was not a fan of the regular school system. He felt that he didn't belong. His heart was in performance, in storytelling, in imagination. He knew very early he wanted to be an actor. But dreams are never enough. He needed a break. He started by appearing in television commercials. One of his first gigs was for Matchbox Cars. He was just 5 years old. Then came a break with a children's TV series called Romper Room, but he was soon fired because he was too disruptive. Imagine that. A child who just wanted to perform was rejected for having too much energy. For many years, Leonardo faced constant rejection. Casting agents told him he didn't have the Hollywood look. They told him his name was too long, too strange. They told him to change it to something more American. But Leonardo refused. He said, "If I'm gonna make it, I'm gonna make it as Leonardo DiCaprio." His mother supported that decision completely. When he was a teenager, he continued to appear in small television roles, sitcoms, educational shows, and commercials. But he knew he was capable of more. At the age of 17, Leonardo got his first big role in a TV show called Growing Pains. His performance caught the eye of producers and critics. He was still young, but his intensity, emotion, and natural talent made people take notice. But Leonardo was just getting started. He was about to prove to the world that he was not just another pretty face, not just a young actor from TV. He was about to dive into roles that would shock everyone. Roles that would show just how deep, committed, and brilliant he truly was. Part 2. The Rise, from TV teen to serious actor. After his appearance in Growing Pains, Leonardo was finally starting to get attention in Hollywood. But he wasn't satisfied. He didn't want to be just a teen heartthrob. He didn't want to be famous for his smile or his hairstyle. He wanted to be great. He wanted to prove himself as a serious actor, someone who could transform, feel deeply, and play roles that challenge the audience. At just 18 years old, Leonardo got the opportunity that would change everything. He was offered a role in a film called This Boy's Life, 1993. The film was based on a true story. It was about a teenage boy who lived with an abusive stepfather. The role was intense, emotional, and very difficult. But what made this opportunity even more incredible was the man playing the stepfather, Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro wasn't just any actor. He was a legend. A man known for powerful roles in movies like Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, and The Godfather Part II. For Leonardo, acting alongside De Niro was both terrifying and exciting. He knew this was his chance. If he could stand tall in front of a legend, the world would finally take him seriously. So how did he prepare? Leonardo didn't just learn his lines. He studied the entire script. He thought about his character's life, his pain, his anger, his fears. He would sit alone for hours, imagining himself as that boy. When the camera started rolling, Leonardo gave everything. His scenes were full of emotion. He wasn't just acting, he was living the role. De Niro was impressed. So were the critics. Suddenly, Hollywood wasn't talking about a teenage boy from Growing Pains. They were talking about a real actor, a young man with raw, natural talent, a performer who could go deep into the soul of a character. But Leonardo wasn't finished. He was just warming up. That same year, he took on another challenging role in a film called What's Eaten Gilbert Grape, 1993. This time, he played the role of a mentally disabled boy named Arnie Grape, living in a small town with his brother and overweight mother. The main character, Gilbert, was played by another young actor named Johnny Depp, who was already quite famous. But when the film was released, all eyes turned to Leonardo. His performance as Arnie was unbelievable. He studied children with disabilities, watched their body language, listened to how they spoke, how they moved, how they smiled, how they struggled. He didn't try to imitate a disability. He tried to understand it. He showed Arnie as a person with feelings, dreams, and joy, not just as a medical condition. When the film came out, audiences were shocked. Many people thought the director had hired a real disabled boy. They couldn't believe Leonardo was acting. His performance was so powerful, so moving, that he was nominated for an Academy Award, an Oscar, for Best Supporting Actor. Let's pause and think about that. He was just 19 years old. A boy who grew up in poverty. A boy who had no connections. A boy who was told to change his name. Was now being celebrated by the biggest film award in the world. And yet, he stayed humble. He didn't let the fame go to his head. He didn't rush into action movies or million-dollar paychecks. Instead, he carefully picked his next roles. He looked for stories that mattered, characters that were real, emotional, and complicated. In the following years, Leonardo continued to impress. In The Basketball Diaries, 1995, he played a high school basketball star who falls into drug addiction. The scenes were raw, dark, and painful. Again, he gave everything, his face, his body, his voice, everything to make the character feel real. In Total Eclipse, 1995, he played a young French poet, Arthur Rimbaud. It was a controversial role because it explored the poet's complex romantic relationship with another man. Many actors were afraid to take such a role. But Leonardo didn't care about controversy. He cared about truth. He wanted to explore all kinds of human emotions, all kinds of stories. And then, in 1996, something huge happened. Leonardo starred in Romeo plus Juliet, directed by Baz Luhrmann. It was a modern version of the classic Shakespeare play, full of guns instead of swords, neon lights, fast cars, and wild music. But the heart of the film was still the love story between Romeo and Juliet. Leonardo played Romeo with passion, charm, and soul. Teenage girls all over the world fell in love with him. His face was suddenly on every magazine. His name was everywhere. He had become a superstar. But even as the world began to see him as a heartthrob, Leonardo remained focused on acting. He didn't want to be a celebrity. He wanted to be an artist. And that desire, his hunger to go deeper, to push himself further, would lead him to a film that would change his life forever. It was a film about a ship that sank in the freezing Atlantic, a ship called the Titanic. Part 3, Titanic, The Storm of Fame. In 1996, a young Canadian director named James Cameron was working on the biggest film of his career. It was a love story, but not just any love story. It was set on the Titanic, the most famous shipwreck in history. The Titanic was a real ship. In 1912, it sank in the North Atlantic Ocean during its first journey. Over 1,500 people died. It was one of the most tragic and shocking disasters of all time. But James Cameron wasn't just interested in history. He wanted to tell a story that felt alive, a love story that would touch millions. He needed two people, a young woman and a young man, to play the lovers from different worlds. He had already chosen the actress, Kate Winslet, a talented British star. She was perfect to play Rose, a rich girl trapped in a strict, unhappy life. Now he needed a Jack, the poor artist, the free spirit, the heart of gold. Many actors auditioned, Some were more famous, some had better muscles, some had movie deals waiting. But when Leonardo DiCaprio walked into the room, everything changed. He didn't act like Jack. He was Jack. He had that spark, that smile, that sadness in his eyes, that fire. He was funny, brave, romantic, real. James Cameron saw it instantly. Kate Winslet saw it too. She said later, "He was the only actor who could make you believe that a girl like Rose would leave everything for him." But Leonardo had doubts. He didn't want to be just a pretty face in a romantic movie. He was worried about fame. He had seen what fame could do. It could destroy people. It could eat them alive. He wasn't sure if he was ready. James Cameron pushed him. "This movie will change your life," he told him. "But you have to trust me." And Leonardo did. The shooting of Titanic was not easy. It was brutal. The budget was huge. Over $200 million, which was the most expensive film ever made at that time. The sets were massive. The ship was rebuilt piece by piece. The water was freezing. Days were long. Sometimes Leonardo and Kate had to shoot scenes while shaking with cold. Sometimes they stood in wet clothes for hours. But Leonardo never gave up. He treated the role with full honesty. He didn't play Jack as just a charming boy. He showed his passion, his courage, his kindness, his sadness. He gave Jack a soul. When the film finally came out in December 1997, no one was ready for what happened next. The world exploded. People didn't just like Titanic, they were obsessed. Women, men, children, teenagers, everyone rushed to the cinema. People watched it 5 times, 10 times, some even more. In some cities, fans cried outside theaters because tickets were sold out. And at the heart of it all was Leonardo. He was no longer just a famous actor. He had become a global phenomenon. Posters of him as Jack were on bedroom walls in Japan, India, Brazil, Egypt, Italy, everywhere. His hair, his eyes, his smile. Every teenager wanted to look like him, talk like him, be like him. He was called the king of the world, just like his famous line from the movie. But fame is a strange thing. On the outside, Leonardo was shining. He was on magazine covers. He was invited to every event. He was making millions. But inside, he was overwhelmed. He couldn't walk outside without being followed. He couldn't eat at a restaurant without crowds. He couldn't even go to the bathroom in peace. Cameras were everywhere. People screamed when they saw him. Some even cried or fainted. Every moment of his life was watched. He started to feel trapped. He once said, "Fame after Titanic felt like a little prison. It was no longer about acting. It was about surviving the noise." Reporters asked about his love life, not his roles. Tabloids wrote lies. Paparazzi followed him day and night. But the biggest pain? He didn't get an Oscar nomination for Titanic. Even though the movie won 11 Oscars, even though it became the biggest film of all time, even though he gave a beautiful performance, Leonardo was ignored by the Academy. He was heartbroken. He didn't say it publicly, but people close to him knew. It hurt him deeply. He had worked so hard, pushed so far, and the one thing he truly wanted, recognition as a serious actor, was taken from him. So what did he do? He disappeared. For a while, he avoided big roles. He took time off. He focused on art, on life, on nature. He traveled, he read, he thought. And when he came back, he didn't choose another blockbuster. He chose films that were different. Films with soul. Like The Beach, 2000. A story about searching for paradise. Like Catch Me If You Can, 2002. A fast, clever film based on a true story. He stepped back. He started reading more scripts, not just looking for fame, but searching for stories that had depth, complexity, truth. He began to say no to big studios. He rejected romantic roles. He stopped attending every red carpet event. Instead, he surrounded himself with people who could challenge him. This was the moment Leonardo made one of the most important decisions of his career. He teamed up with someone legendary, a man who had worked with Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, and many of the greatest actors in history. That man was Martin Scorsese. Martin Scorsese was already a master. Known for films like Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, and Goodfellas, he was famous for his raw, gritty, powerful storytelling. But at that time, he was looking for a new kind of actor. Someone young, but serious. Someone who could bring emotion, intelligence, and fire to the screen. Their first film together was Gangs of New York, 2002. It wasn't an easy movie. It was violent. It was intense. It was set in the 1800s during a brutal period in New York's history. Leonardo played Amsterdam Vallon, a young man who watched his father get murdered and now wanted revenge. He had to act opposite Daniel Day-Lewis, one of the most respected and intense actors in the world. Day-Lewis was known for completely becoming his character, living, breathing, and thinking like the person he played. Some actors might have felt scared, nervous, or small beside him, but Leonardo didn't flinch. He stepped into the fire, gave it everything, and stood tall. He studied history, worked on his accent, trained with experts, and stayed in character. On set, he didn't act like a star. He acted like a student, hungry to learn, ready to grow. Audiences saw a new Leonardo. He wasn't just charming anymore. He was dangerous, powerful, layered. He had transformed. In 2002, Leonardo also starred in Catch Me If You Can, directed by Steven Spielberg. It was based on a true story of Frank Abagnale Jr., a young con artist who pretended to be a pilot, doctor, lawyer, all before the age of 21. It was a fun, fast, stylish film. But under all the fun, there was pain. A boy running from a broken home, a boy trying to make his father proud, a boy hiding behind lies because the truth hurt too much. Leonardo brought all of that emotion to the screen. His smile lit up the film, but his eyes told the real story. Audiences loved him again. But this time, it wasn't just for his looks. It was for his performance, his honesty, his courage. Then came The Aviator in 2004, perhaps the most demanding role of his career up to that point. He played Howard Hughes, a real-life billionaire, inventor, filmmaker, and airplane lover who slowly lost his mind to a condition called OCD, obsessive-compulsive disorder. This role required more than acting. It required pain. Leonardo didn't just read about OCD. He studied it deeply. He talked to doctors, read books, and even locked himself in rooms for hours to feel the anxiety, the fear, the obsession. He wanted to understand what it was like to be trapped in your own mind. He changed his voice, his posture, his movements. In one scene, he sits naked in a theater, repeating the same line again and again, shaking, sweating, breaking down. It was haunting. It was brave. It was unforgettable. And finally, finally, the Academy noticed. Leonardo was nominated for Best Actor. He didn't win, but it didn't matter. The world now saw what he had always believed. Leonardo DiCaprio was not a teen idol. He was a serious, powerful, committed actor. In 2006, Leonardo gave not one, but two outstanding performances. First, in Blood Diamond, he played a diamond smuggler in war-torn Africa. His character was rough, selfish, dangerous, but slowly, he finds a conscience. Leonardo trained with African soldiers, practiced the South African accent for months, and even visited war zones. His performance was raw, emotional, unforgettable. He earned another Oscar nomination. In the same year, he reunited with Scorsese for The Departed, a dark crime thriller set in Boston. He played an undercover cop hiding inside a violent gang, risking his life every second. That film won Best Picture. It was one of Scorsese's biggest hits. And Leonardo's performance? Explosive. You could feel the stress in his body, the panic in his eyes, the fear in every breath. Many say he should have won the Oscar right then. But once again, he was nominated, not awarded. By now, Leonardo had built something rare in Hollywood. He was no longer just an actor. He had become a symbol of quality. If Leonardo DiCaprio was in a movie, people knew it would be meaningful. He had a rule. He would only work with great directors. And he kept his private life quiet. No scandals, no cheap fame. He focused on his craft. He turned down superhero films. He avoided franchise deals. He didn't chase money. He chased greatness. And that's what made him stand out. That's what made people respect him. Not just as a celebrity, but as an artist. Part 4. The Final Ascent. How Leonardo DiCaprio became a legend. After decades of hard work, powerful performances, and a commitment to artistic integrity, Leonardo DiCaprio had everything. Respect, fame, success. But there was still one thing missing. An Oscar. That little golden statue, the most prestigious award in acting, had eluded him again and again. He had been nominated several times. Audiences and critics alike said, "If anyone deserves it, it's Leo." But every time the moment came, someone else's name was called. The world watched, confused, hurt. Why? Why not Leo? And yet DiCaprio never complained. He never broke down in interviews. He never stopped trying. He just smiled, thanked the Academy, and went back to work. Choosing films that mattered, that challenged him, that gave him no rest until he had delivered something unforgettable. And then came the film that would change everything. The Revenant, 2015. This was not just a film. It was a war. Leonardo DiCaprio took on the role of Hugh Glass, a real-life frontiersman from the 1800s who is mauled by a bear and left for dead, but somehow survives and crawls through snow and wilderness to find the men who betrayed him. This was not a studio set with green screens and coffee breaks. This was raw, real, and ruthless. The director, Alejandro G. Iñárritu, known for Birdman, wanted everything to be shot in natural light, in remote locations, in freezing temperatures. No faking it, no shortcuts. And Leonardo said yes. Here's what he had to go through. He slept in animal carcasses in the snow. He ate raw bison liver. Yes, real raw liver. He waded through icy rivers, sometimes for hours. He fought with wolves, crawled with broken bones, screamed without words. But it wasn't just physical. Leo had to become a man who had lost everything. His son, his strength, his hope. And still pushed forward. There was very little dialogue. Most of the performance came through his eyes, his body, and his silence. Every breath he took on screen felt like a battle. And when the film came out, people were stunned. They didn't see Leonardo the actor. They saw Hugh Glass, broken, bloody, desperate, and somehow still alive. Critics called it the performance of a lifetime. Audiences whispered, "This time, He has to win. And finally, on the night of the 88th Academy Awards, when the presenter opened the envelope and said those long-awaited words, Leonardo DiCaprio. The world erupted. He stood up slowly. The audience gave a standing ovation. Every camera pointed at him. Every heart was with him. He walked to the stage, not as a movie star, but as a man who had earned the respect of the entire planet. And when he held that Oscar in his hands, he didn't make the moment about himself. He didn't cry. He didn't boast. Instead, he spoke about something much bigger. He said, "Climate change is real. It is happening right now. It is the most urgent threat facing our entire species. Let us not take this planet for granted. I do not take this night for granted." Because by now, Leonardo wasn't just an actor. He was an activist, a philanthropist, and a voice for the Earth. He had started the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, which supports environmental causes, protects endangered animals, fights global warming, and educates people about saving the planet. He used his fame not just for films, but for change. After winning the Oscar, Leonardo could have slowed down, but he didn't. He kept working with brilliant directors. In Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, 2019, directed by Quentin Tarantino, he played an aging actor trying to stay relevant. It was funny, emotional, and deeply personal. In Don't Look Up, 2021, he played a scientist warning the world about an incoming comet. The film was a clever metaphor for climate change, something he passionately speaks about. He also started producing films and documentaries, not just starring in stories, but creating them. He met world leaders, spoke at the United Nations, walked at climate marches, donated millions to save forests, oceans, and animals. He proved that fame is not just a gift, it's a tool, and you can use it to build something beautiful, something that matters. So, who is Leonardo DiCaprio, Mas really? He is a child from a poor neighborhood in Los Angeles, a teenager rejected by many because of his look and name, a young heartthrob who refused to be trapped by his beauty, a man who chose art over fame, depth over glamour, an actor who gave his entire body, mind, and soul to every role, a human being who chose to fight for the planet instead of just enjoying luxury. He is not perfect. He has made mistakes. He has had relationships that didn't work out. He has been criticized for his lifestyle, but he never claimed to be flawless. What he did, and continues to do, is strive, grow, try, and inspire. As we come to the end of this unforgettable journey, let's take a moment to step back and truly understand what Leonardo DiCaprio's life teaches us. He is not just a Hollywood icon. He is not just the man from Titanic. He is not just someone with a handsome face and global fame. Leonardo DiCaprio is a symbol of patience, of purpose, of progress. Today, his net worth is estimated to be over $300 million. He owns beautiful homes, luxury cars, a private island. But that's not what makes him rich. What makes him rich is how he never gave up on his dream. Lessons from Leonardo's life. 1. Believe in your dreams, even if others laugh. When Leonardo was just a young boy in a small apartment, people told him he'd never make it. His name was strange. He was rejected many times, but he believed in himself when no one else did. 2. Don't let success trap you. Let it push you. After Titanic, he could have taken the easy path, but he didn't. He rejected fame's comfort and chose the difficult road, the road of great storytelling and meaningful characters. 3. Failure is not the end. It is fuel. He lost the Oscar again and again, but he didn't give up. He didn't blame anyone. He worked harder. And when his time came, the world stood up and clapped for him. 4. Use your voice for something bigger than yourself. Even with money and fame, Leonardo didn't forget his responsibility. He fights for climate change. He supports wildlife. He speaks for the earth. Because success is not just about what you achieve. It's about what you give. 5. Never stop evolving. He's no longer just an actor. He's a producer, a philanthropist, a global voice. He's proof that growth never ends. And now, to you, the listener. Maybe you are sitting in a small room today, doubting your dreams. Maybe people laugh at your goals. Maybe life has pushed you down again and again. But remember this. Leonardo was once a boy like you. Like me. Like us. No connections. No fame. No guarantees. Just a dream, a deep belief, and a fire in his heart. And that was enough. So never give up. You don't need to be born great. You just need to start. Study, work, improve your English, speak with confidence, chase your passion, because you never know who's watching. And you never know how far you can go until you try. Your Oscar moment will come. And one day, people will tell your story, just like we told his. Until then, keep moving. Keep believing. Because the world is waiting for you.